I've titled this, and I've never named it before, but I've been using it for several years, and I've explained it to some people, especially when they start asking me questions about my business, and like, look at me, like, how are you doing this? How's everything? You touch turn to gold, and they look at me kind of like I've got some magic that I really don't have. But I'm calling this the Fans and Fortunes Formula, and it's really derived off of a concept that if a picture is worth a thousand words, then a demonstration is worth a thousand pictures. And I almost started to call it the fame and fortune formula, but I haven't really been famous. And I've noticed a lot of people that use this formula, probably by accident. Obviously, they don't have the exact formula, but they stumble onto it and they get a fan following. They don't necessarily become famous, but they get a fan following and they make quite a bit of money, because what happens is they help other people out in such a way that people haven't figured out just with sheer content or just sheer writing or all this hoopla and positioning that authorities try to do with using Cialdini, you know, trying to be the authority. If they stumble across this, what we're going to be talking about today, the Fans and Fortunes formula, and it works very, very well for them. So I don't even think it's a formula for fame. I think that it can definitely help you in your niche, but it'll definitely help you turn your subscribers or turn your audience that you already have, no matter how small, into fans, and it will help you grow your audience and your fan base as well. So there's actually 10 steps, but don't freak out. Most of them are like one word steps, and they're pretty easy. But kind of a lot of the magic in the soup is in this first step. And that is, what we want to do is we want to discover a small but meaningful result that your market wants, that they can either see, feel, hear, touch, or taste. And I'm just kind of through all of those in there. You have the tasting. If you're in the cooking niche or something like that, that might be an important one. If you can put more than one in there, if there's something they can see and hear or see and feel, that's even more powerful. But we want to get them small but meaningful results. The big mistake that we go here, and I've made it, I see other people make it, especially when they create their programs and their products and they try to give this wonderful, wonderful content, is they go too big. The big mistake, and it's an honest mistake, but it's by getting too big of a result, because the misconception is big is the only good result. And what I'm encouraging you to do, everybody says, think big, you know, and I say, yes, let's think smaller. We want small but meaningful. So if we imagine our Nightmare Island again, or our Hell Island, and we imagine our Heaven Island, we don't have to like get them all the way across in our first communication or what we do. Now, we might want to get, you know, a significant result with our whole product or what we're doing, but we can get, if we can help them take a first step, or even just instead of getting all the way across, let me show you, here's how to build a raft in 15 minutes, and they can build their first raft. That step is meaningful. Like, wow, Kevin showed me how to build my first raft. And they build that raft, and that forever changes the way that they look at you and that you're relationship with them. So when you come along and you say, hey, so now that you've got this raft, you might need a couple oars, right? Or you might need some food to help you get across the ocean, right? And they're going to be much more likely, not only are they going to be fans of yours now, they're going to be much more likely to trust you and purchase either what you're recommending or what your product is, or take that next action step with you. I've got tons of examples. I'll just give you a little bit of one right now. So in Bump Marketing Method, you know, I wish I would have just figured this out from the beginning. I wish I would have been that smart, but I wasn't. So when I started up Bump Marketing Method, my basic thing was, let's show people how to make some money. You know, it's pretty simple. To get a social site, they didn't call them social sites back then, they were classified sites and article sites, but I figured out how to get, you know, the kind of the formula to get those article in there and get it ranked up on Google and get it found so I could drive some traffic and make some money, right? So I thought too big. I'm like, well, I'm going to help these people make some money. And so I built a little three-page site, kind of showed them how I did it, and it did good. I mean, people were getting success with it. But the comments I kept getting back was, hey, I'm putting up my first article. What do I do here? You know, what do I do? You know, how do I get my first classified ad up? And as I started showing him that, I saw they got really, really excited about getting those first articles up. I saw they got really, really excited about getting their first classified ad up. And that was what changed my relationship with them, not the fact that they had made money or didn't make money, but the fact that I've actually given them something to do, and they did it. They saw their name in lights, in the C thing, right? They saw when they went to their Google and they typed in their phrase, it's like, oh, my God, there I am, right? So they got the first article in, and another little step was like, see yourself in Google. And it's like, oh, my gosh. And that is what forever changed our relationship together. And so it's that one small step. We'll go over some other examples later on. But, again, this is kind of where the magic is. So when we're looking, you know, at what we do, what products we sell, and what the end result is, that's all great, and we still want to strive and shoot for that. But and we can use this in various stages of our marketing. We can use it as opt-in bait. We can use it as if they become subscribers. We also want to include it into our product, especially our front-end product, because our front-end product is one of the biggest marketing pieces that we have. So when we put together our front-end product, we want to give them stuff that they can do right away. I'm going to cover more of this in the formula, where they get that small but meaningful result quickly and easily. Okay, so step one is just discover the small but meaningful result your market wants. Step two is develop and or test a method for them to get it. That's probably the hardest step, but if we're experts in our field, there's probably stuff that we do or that we've already got that we're just looking over because we're thinking of the big result. What's the big result, right? But if we can help them get a smaller, more meaningful, not more meaningful, but a smaller but meaningful result really, really quickly within the, you know, the first, I won't say the first 20 minutes of it being in your product, but not that, you know, it's going to take you 6 weeks to do or 4 weeks to do or 3 months to do if you're trying to help somebody get over an affair, help them get their ex back or, you know, but what meaningful result can we get them right now? And more than likely, when you've been working as an expert in this, you can pull that out once you take your focus off of the big result for a minute and say, well, what is it they're struggling with right now that I could help them with? So like in The Magic I'm Making Up, I've sold lots and lots of product off of the second chance letter because I realized that one of the meaningful steps for them was just to get some kind of response back and to feel a little bit of closure and to get a little bit of relief that they've done something productive with their relationship. So I have them write, you know, I walk them through writing a handwritten letter, what to say in the letter, and that works beautifully. It gets a result. It gets their ex to say, well, thank you for acknowledging that. It gets, a lot of times it gets the ex to respond back. But if it doesn't, it also does another thing. It gets them to physically sit down and have something in front of them, right? So they can see something that they're doing, right? They can feel it as they write the letter. They can send it off. They might get a result back. The ex may call them. They got the hearing going on. But it also makes them feel emotionally. So it's a very useful small steps. And I've got so many people that say, you know, I just wrote that letter. So, oh my gosh, she responded back. Or I wrote that letter, so I definitely want to see what to do next, you know, and it's a small, meaningful result for them. If you have trouble coming up with one, there's a couple recommendations. One, I would immerse yourself in your market some more. Answer emails if you're not answering emails. Talk with your market. Work with your market. Discover, you know, what's the steps, because if you're just thinking going from Hell Island to Heaven Island in one big step, you are not in touch with your market. So you want to find out what's the other milestones along the way there. You can look outside of your market. You can take things like Bryn's, I'm going through his product right now. Bryn does a great job of taking marketing principles to the DJ market. And so we can go to other markets and bring things that seem like second nature to us and bring them into our market as well. So always keep your eyes open. Don't make things super complicated. We'll talk about, you know, singles and doubles and triples and home runs, but sometimes we'll have to hit a few singles and doubles to get to, you know, the actual fans and fortune. But I'm thinking of the investment market right now, you know, a small but tangible result that may be meaningful. I'm not too familiar with that market. I'm more familiar now with working with Matt. But it may just be, how many people that are in my market don't even have a trading account yet? If you did, if you walked at a 5 or 10 or 15 minute walkthrough on how to open up a trading account, and you just help them do that, that might be a meaningful step to them. Now, without knowing the market, I don't know how, again, that just may be a single, right? They might say, oh my gosh, thank you for helping me. I was, didn't know which company to go through or any of that kind of stuff. The third step is we want to boil it down into as few steps as possible. Still needs to get meaningful results, even if it's small, but we need to be able to do it with minimum effort, without special skills. And I don't have an exact time on this, but I'm kind of the things I've seen success with is it must take them a minimum or a maximum of 20 minutes to do. If it's anything over that 20-minute-ish mark, it's going to be harder for you to inspire those people to take action. So, you know, if you're going to try to show somebody how to earn their first $100, you better have a way they can do it under 20 minutes, because you got too big of a step right there. You're going to show somebody how to, you know, it's a good gauge. What can I really do in these 20 minutes? What can I boil down? What can I take away? What can I do in these 20 minutes to make it work? It's like right now I'm working on FAQ webinars. Right now I think it's going to make a great fans and fortunes formula piece, but it takes too long right now the way I have it right now, so I need to tie it up some more. I need to take some more steps down, maybe give them some templates, you know, maybe because there's emails they have to write. So you might need to incorporate, hey, here's a template for you. Take this template, tweak it a little bit, and then put it into use. But you want it to be something that they can do in 20 minutes or less. So you're going to boil down those steps, take away as many as possible. Kind of a good example of this is how I go about cold emailing business owners, brick-and-mortar business owners for online service businesses. I won't go into the actual method. But I figured out a way to do it and get a conversation going and get somebody to say, yeah, I would like to have a conversation with you. And it's interesting, I taught this on a webinar, and on the webinar itself, I had a couple people actually get clients right on the webinar just by showing them how to start up these conversations. So that's an excellent fans and fortune formula mechanism or tool right there that I can use. I cut out a lot of the BS and a lot of the steps and just show them how to cold email. I hate using that word, but the cold conversation to start that up. By the way, I just call it, I started with my affiliates, it was called partner wrangling, and I've never actually given it a name, which I'm going to talk about here in a second, but that would be a really good example. So I'm going to boil it down into as few steps as possible. Step number four, and an important step, if we leave it out, you'll never get the power that it could get. That's a step that's easy to get wrong. And if you got something that's working really well and not firing up, you might want to take a look at this step. But that's simply to name your method, your invention, or your technique. Just name it. It can be funny or ridiculous. I'm going through a couple of you guys' products right now, and you have some fabulous techniques in there, but you need to give them all names. Like in The Magic I'm Making Up, I've got a step-by-step how to make an apology, and it's called the Clean Slate Method. The Clean Slate Method. You know, so they want to start with the clean slate. Here's your best chance of doing that. Follow these steps right here. I get comments and letters all the time saying, man, I use that clean slate method. It works like a champ. That's another one of those things that they can easily say, oh, here's how I can do it. Here's how I can concoct it, and they can actually take it out and use it. But if there's not a name for them to talk about, you know, it makes it really hard for them to say, hey, I did that thing you told me to do with the apology thing, you know, but having a name for them to talk about it will allow them to have a communication with you as well as tell other people about it. Jeannie helped me name the bum marketing method because when I was explaining to her, she said, man, you could take a homeless guy to the library and show him how to do that. He wouldn't need any money or anything. I'm like, oh, that's so great. That's awesome. So I made it a little bit out there and did the bum marketing method. And when I first called it that and started releasing that, I got a bunch of Aussies and Australians saying, you know what bum means in Australia? It means butt. And I didn't know that at the time. But I just left it because it kind of was off the wall and unique and kind of ridiculous. And ridiculous will kind of work. In order to help you name some stuff, I would recommend a book for you. It's great for all your marketing, but it's called Made to Stick, and it's written by, I think, two brothers, Chip and Dan Heath. And what they've done is done research on winning ideas that stick. And I'm going to go over just some of the naming conventionality. I'm not going to go deep into it. But and you don't have to have every single one, but the more of these that you can incorporate, the better. I just noticed it just right now that it actually is, there's an acronym, it's SUCCESS. I did not know that until I started looking at it. But it is, the first one is simple. So if the name or the idea is simple, you make it simple. Bum marketing method, second chance letter, magic second chance letter. Just make it simple. Number two is unexpected. That's where the bum kind of comes in. I didn't realize that when I named it that. But bum marketing method, that's kind of unexpected, right? Marketing, bum, and marketing kind of don't really go together. Make it concrete. A concrete idea, idea that they can see in their mind. Credible. well, I think sometimes, you know, for the word bum marketing method, just marketing makes it sound a little bit credible. The second chance letter, I don't know if there's so much credibility in there, but it's something that the niche wants. But credible is good. Emotional, if you can add some emotion into that, the second chance is emotional for my suddenly single people. Fans and fortunes formula. It's a little bit emotional. Everybody kind of wants fans and fortunes. And then the last one is story. If it can kind of tell a story, I had at one point released, I'm kind of branding Blue Collar right now, but the Blue Collar Millionaire. And then I got the Blue Collar Conversion Funnel, which, but Blue Collar basically saying, hey, it's stuff that normal people can do. So the story is important. And that was step number four. Step number five is simply, and they get, these steps get progressively easier. Step number five is just a beta test on ordinary folk in your niche. So, you know, there's no sense in putting a tool or a mechanism or invention out there that if it doesn't work on some level. So test it out. Work with some people. Say, hey, you know, I just made this Facebook page for DJs, and it's working pretty good for me, but I want to give it to some other people and see if they have the same results that I did. And put that out there and see if they have the same results. Step six is tweak if you need be. So tweak it. Come up maybe with something you have a smaller or more meaningful results that you didn't think of. Kind of like the bum marketing method. Like, oh, Michelle, so you want to make some money here, right? Not a lie. I already knew that I didn't have to show them how to make millions. Most of these guys were only kind of looking for $50, $100, couple hundred dollars there. So I was smart enough to figure that out, but I tweaked it. Like, oh, yeah. Tweak it to getting the first article up. Tweak it to getting their name and likes in Google. Was more meaningful. And then you release it. Release it on out there. And once you've released it, then comes the, it's an important step, once they're in your audience already. Even if you've got something that's wonderful that'll get people results, and they get results in 20 minutes or less, and you know it works, unfortunately, not everybody will just use it without motivation. So step numero seven, or numero eight, is to inspire people to use it. Inspire people to use it. So talk about other people using it. Talk about, you know, just inspire, say, hey, set aside some time for this. Just inspire people to use what you've already invented and what you know works. And this is true whether this is at the beginning of your funnel, your prospect funnel, or your once they come in, don't just assume they're going to use your invention. Inspire them to use it. Ask them to share their results. Ask them to share their challenges with using it. If they have any questions on it, inspire them at the beginning of the funnel. And especially, even more important, is once they buy your product, right? Especially if it's your front end. Again, your front end of your product is one of the most important marketing pieces that you have. So it's great to have this big training that you have that gets them all the way from, you know, whatever's promised step that you give them from Hell Island to Heaven Island. But get them something meaningful right away that they can start using and get that success under the belt. But you're going to have to, again, you're going to have to inspire them, right? Inspire them, take it. Most people are so, so busy. They get excited about something. They will download it or purchase it or have every intention of using something. And they do. They have every good intention of using it. But kind of life gets in the way. And so they need us to, that's part, to me, that's part of the value that I bring is not letting them forget about it and to help them inspire that transformation. I considered myself to be not perfect, obviously, but I think it's infinitely more helpful to be a transformation marketer than an information marketer. It's great to get people the information, but what's important is helping them use it and inspiring them to use it and help them get that transformation. So step nine is repeat step eight, which is inspire people. And step 10 is repeat step 9. So you become into in this loop there. So the last three steps are all inspire, 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 and keep on inspiring, especially if what you have is working and it's getting people results, because it's that them doing that, that if you ever go to a conference with people and they're like, oh my God, you did X for me, or you got me in this business, or Let me show you the Jeep that you bought me with using your investment techniques. These are the things that transforms people's lives. I don't know how I keep making these so long. but you guys are pretty quiet, so I guess it's a good thing. So I do want to point out that these don't all have to be home runs, okay? Get your singles out there. Get your doubles out there. Just get those, get those small steps that you can actually get transformation with people and inspire them to do that. You might have several of them. Like I have the clean slate method. I have the fast forward technique for helping handle the emotions, the magic second chance letter. I've saying like premature reconciliation. This is different dialogue that we can talk about and hang things on, and it's those transformation points that we have. So I wanted to go over some examples right quick where I talked about bum marketing, magic, and making up. Girl gets ring, interesting point there. I have some mechanisms in Girl Gets Ring, but they're not as powerful and as hard and concrete as the magic of making up. And so I can see that, well, I need to do some work there. I do have those in there about how to have conversations and naming the conversation technique, but it's not something that is hard and physical. And maybe I need to come up with some text messages they can send or something that they can get more tangible results that they're looking for. Small but meaningful results. When I work with people in the relationship stuff, one of the things I talk about is, here's how to get your other person to listen to you. What's the phrase? And it's simply this phrase, let me understand, let me make sure I understand what you just said. And that always gets the other person to hush and listen, because everyone has to make sure you're understood. So you can bottle that up, name it, give it something that they can use, and work that. But it's interesting that Girl Gets Ring in some ways, it's more successful at converting cold traffic, but it hasn't had the success that Mamu has, just for that fact, I think. A couple of you guys here, I know Matt's here, largely from Bar Marketing Method, but also from the Million Dollar Marketing Sequence.
Yes,
which
sir.
Is, yeah, so I took that from, I tweaked it, I saw Frank Kern's 4-day cash machine. I said, well, what's the problem with this? Problem is it doesn't work for affiliates. So I took it and figured out how to tweak it for affiliates, and I added some of my own touches to it. But that's a really good example, too. For any of you guys that were around for Frank Kern's famous mass control, it was really, really interesting that as good as mass control is, he really built that business off of the 4-day cash machine. I don't know if you guys remember that or not, but it was basically just a template of 4 emails, and you tweak them out and you customize them up. You're basically running a sale. Very, very simple, but with the tweaking and everything, it's something that people could do in 15 or 20 minutes, and people started having success with it. They would run this sale, they would make sales, and that was all. They're just like, wow, I did it, I made sales. Awesome. And he really used that as a leverage point to inside not only his launch, but he had other people taking that and hiring it and do it for other companies. So he really took that and ran with it. Harry Lorraine, don't know if you guys have heard of this guy, but if you've done any memory work, you've probably heard of Harry Lorraine. He's very, very simple techniques for remembering to-do lists and numbers and everything, and he has basically worked with the way that the brain uses imagination, and imagination won't let you forget certain things. Launch jacking. Anybody guys heard of launch jacking before? Relatively unknown guy, Rob Jones and Mike Long started doing what's called launch jacking, which is basically bum marketing on product names just before they come out, which I had told my folks about long before they called it launch jacking, but my hat's off to them. They gave it a great name, put it into a little package that was pretty simple for people to do, and built a lot of fans and a lot of fortune for themselves with that. If you guys remember Google Sniper, George Brown, another take on bum marketing in a way. Dean Jackson's 9-word email. This is something that I think Bren could probably redo for his DJ market. But Dean Jackson is very famous in the real estate niche for this 9-word email. It just basically, are you still interested in buying a home in blank? And he just has people send that out to past prospects. It doesn't matter if they have a lot because it works so well. If they have a list of 20 people, they just send it out manually to 20 people. And the goal is not to sell a house. The small step is that it gets people to reply back. So they're like, oh my God, Dean, I used that 9-word email. And I sent out to 20 people, and I got 5 responses back. Oh my God, I've never seen anything like it. You know, I spent thousands of dollars on Facebook ads. I've never seen anything like this. You know, and it's just something simple that they can do. It's like, and they try it because this is, and again, the shorter time you can make it, you know, so I say 20 minutes is the max, but if you can get something down, you imagine themselves doing or do in 5 or 10 minutes, that's even better. Yeah, the shorter you can make that time, the more likely, the less inspiring you're going to have to be. And that was, you guys can probably come up with some examples for yourself. If you guys don't have any specific questions, maybe we can brainstorm some fans and fortunes formula or mechanisms for you guys.